This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Leaky gut has been stirring up plenty of discussion in health circles with questions about its causes, effects, and even how to best manage it. Well, what is leaky gut and what does it mean for us?
Dr. Vincent Ho, the gut doctor on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Dr. Vincent Ho.
Afternoon, Warren.
Can you explain what leaky gut syndrome is, please? Doesn't sound very nice.
Yes, well, the first thing is that the small bowel itself, which is where the site of the action is, has got a very wide surface area. If you were to stretch it, it would actually cover a tennis court.
So
an average adult's small bowel would cover the tennis court, absolutely. And the small bowel itself, when you stretch it all, it actually has quite a tight barrier that stops things from getting absorbed into the bloodstream. So it controls what we absorb, so some nutrients, but it actually is, it stops a lot of the partially digested foods, toxins and bugs from getting inside the gut and into the bloodstream. So it's really important. That's an important defense, is this gut lining. So when there is a breakdown of that, where there are holes in that, then you can, of course, get those substances like toxins and bugs which go down into the bloodstream, and it can drive inflammation, and that is what we call the leaky gut. So there's a medical term called intestinal permeability, but what we know this commonly as leaky gut. And leaky gut syndrome relates to the fact that if you get a lot of these substances, you potentially can get a lot of symptoms from it too, and so some people can experience digestive symptoms as a result.
How do you diagnose, I suppose, leaky gut as such?
Yeah, so that's a tricky question. Basically, it goes by testing some substances to see whether or not they can actually traverse through the small bowel. So generally, small bowel's pretty good. It doesn't allow certain types of sugars, like lactulose, for example, to get through. But other sugars, like mannitol, which is a type of sugar alcohol, can get through. So so what you can do is you can actually measure in your urine the concentrations of these two sugars, lactulose and mannitol. And if you find that you're getting a lot of the lactulose, which basically is a very large sugar, so that gets through if you've got a big holes in the gut. If you've got lots of lactulose in your urine, then that is highly suggestive that there is a leaky gut. And sometimes there are some other blood tests that can be helpful as well.
Just to digress a little bit, that mannitol, I know that if I eat a lot of it as, you know, these sugarless products, for example, I find, you know, tend to go to the toilet quite a lot. Is that because of this impermeable barrier that doesn't ordinarily allow these large sugars through, like the mannitol?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, sometimes if you get, for example, a low level of mannitol in your urine, it may mean that you're malabsorbing. So what you may have experienced is you're actually malabsorbing all these very small molecules. And that's a possibility as well, to think about. But yes, I mean, you know, the symptoms that you describe are very common, and a lot of people experience this.
What are the, I suppose, how do we, if we do have leaky gut and we're getting these large sugars, for example, getting into our bloodstream, which aren't meant to be there, what do we notice, I suppose, as patients? What would we notice in terms of the symptoms?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. Again, many of the symptoms can be quite vague, and there's a lot of controversy about this. So we believe that leaky gut, well, certainly we can see it in certain kinds of diseases. For example, we know that in celiac disease, there certainly is a leaky gut which contributes to that condition. And there are other conditions like Crohn's disease, where people can often get, you know, a lot of abdominal pain, bloating, discomfort. IBS is another one where we can often get this leaky gut. So often you get those conditions like celiac, Crohn's, irritable bowel. That's they're known gastrointestinal conditions where you get classical symptoms, altered bowel motions, and so on. But you can get potentially leaky gut in other conditions. So people are studying leaky gut in many other autoimmune conditions like type 1 diabetes and multiple sclerosis, chronic fatigue syndrome, and even people are studying it in obesity and mental illness. So there's a lot of diseases where leaky gut has been speculated to be a culprit.
Oh, really? So could it be that there could be really toxic substances that are leaking through as well into our blood?
Yeah, so that is the theory, that there are some toxins that are triggering off inflammation, and in some cases it can trigger autoimmunity. So it's the thinking is that many autoimmune diseases, that they can share this common leakiness in the gut, allowing, you know, these toxins and bits of bacteria, for example, or bacteria to get into the bloodstream, triggering off this reaction or autoimmune inflammation that occurs.
This must be so interesting from your perspective to be, I suppose, finding out about these things as the science develops, as we find more information, and finding out what could be the potential culprit behind many of these other conditions. That must be fascinating.
It absolutely is fascinating, because it tells us that the gut really is a lot more important than we realize.
Now, what about in terms of treatments? Let's say we do have a leaky gut. What can be done to fix up the areas that it's leaking through?
Yeah, so two really important things. One is to avoid the things that make the leaky gut worse. So we know that a typical Western diet, which is low in fiber, high in sugar and saturated fats, is not good for the gut. It can initiate the process of leaky gut. Uh-huh. And we know that there are other triggers, for example, heavy alcohol use, stress, that all seems to be contributing to the leaky gut. So I think it's important to avoid the triggers. But also, Warren, there are some foods that can be beneficial in improving leaky gut. So we know that dietary fiber is good, and I've talked about fiber before in the past.
Fiber always pops up, Dr. Vincent Ho.
Always. It's so important. The way that fiber works is it actually modifies the mucus layer. There's a mucus layer in the gut, and it helps to strengthen that barrier. So that's the way that fiber works. There are other things that can work. So probiotics have been shown to be helpful. And there's also a number of different foods that are also helpful. For example, we know that some types of berries and grapes contain antioxidants. They're called anthocyanins that have been shown to be helpful for the leaky gut, so helps to strengthen against leaky gut. And there are other types of berries that contain a substance called L-tannins. And basically these are found in a lot of strawberries, in blueberries, pomegranates. They contain lots of these substances, and they have been shown in studies to be helpful in strengthening against leaky gut.
We're chatting with Dr. Vincent Ho, clinical academic gastroenterologist at Western Sydney University, about leaky gut. Dr. Vincent Ho, what about, I suppose, lifestyle, things like stress? Does that play an impact in terms of having a propensity to develop leaky gut?
Absolutely it does. It absolutely does. So we know that stress is certainly a big trigger. So along with, you know, processed foods, along with alcohol, it is a known trigger. And in fact, you know, stress itself is linked to a lot of systemic inflammation. So that's been shown. And we believe that the mechanism in part could relate to the fact that there is this leaky gut that's exacerbated by stress. So stress certainly, can be an exacerbating factor, which can worsen leaky gut. And people studying whether or not stress itself can be the trigger, or the initiating factor for leaky gut in the first place. So there's a lot of research into it, but we do know that stress is certainly a major contributor.
And Dr. Vincent Ho, what happens, I suppose, if you don't do anything about it? Are there any long-term risks associated with leaky gut?
Yeah, so those different conditions that I've mentioned, those diseases, the autoimmune diseases, you're more at risk for that. And potentially, it can be linked to a number of other, syndromes and diseases like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, allergies, obesity, I mentioned before, mental, illnesses, all those things you could potentially be at more risk for if the leaky gut, persists and gets worse. So there is, I believe, a benefit in trying to have a more healthier lifestyle, avoiding the triggers that I mentioned before, and also eating appropriately too, and looking at some of those foods that can be beneficial for the leaky gut.
What are, I suppose, in terms of the future directions with the, in terms of research, where do you see the research and treatment of leaky gut syndrome going? Because it sounds like there's so much more to learn.
Oh, yeah. For example, we realize that there is a type of substance called zonulin, which is a type of substance which controls the helps to control the intestinal barrier. So it's an important molecule which is at work. And people are studying drugs, for example, that act upon zonulin. So there may be medications in the near future, Warren, that may help to directly close off some of those big gaps or holes in our guts, especially if it's very leaky. So, you know, watch this space. I mean, if medications come into play, that could be really something.
And before we let you go, are they actual physical holes, Dr. Vincent Ho, that develop in the gut?
They are. So they are physical holes, but they're also functional ones as well. Mm-hmm. So we know that, for example, there's these tight junctions or tight barriers, and what happens when you get leaky gut, not only do you get a physical hole there, but also functionally it's affected as well. So the ability of the molecules to help close over those gaps are affected.
So in the meantime, we should stick to a healthy diet, lots of fiber, lots of berries and fresh fruits, and hopefully prevent it in the first place and keep our stress levels down. Is that right?
Absolutely. Those are important things.
Fantastic. Dr. Vincent Ho, great to chat with you again. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's an absolute pleasure, Warren.
Thank you. So for more great information on gut health, you can follow Dr. Vincent Ho on Instagram and TikTok at The Gut Doctor, or check out his website.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.